There are a lot of things that I believe very strongly, and these beliefs affect the way that I behave. One of them is this: if you were to tell me to stand on the glass floor of the CN Tower, I would never do that. Because you couldn't pay me enough to do that. Standing here at a height of 342 meters, who's in the same boat as me? You would never do that, yeah. That's right. Also, if you tell me that we're going to have another winter storm and I'm going to have to get my shovel out, I believe that I have no place to put any more snow. And so I start to push the snow onto the road. Well, not too much. My behavior is based on my beliefs. Our beliefs affect the way that we behave, and we can't trick ourselves into thinking that we can be Christians and not put our faith into action. And so this is the theme of the book of James, putting our faith into action. And this morning, we will conclude, finish off the rest of the James chapter 1, a belief that behaves. Now, last week, Andrew shared this quote from A.W. Tozer, and we could have this quote every time that we speak from the book of James. It says this: "The Bible recognizes no faith that does not lead to obedience, nor does it recognize any obedience that does not spring from faith." This he wrote in a book called Paths to Power. And he continues, he says, "The two, faith and obedience, are opposite sides of the same coin. So faith and obedience are forever joined, and each one is without value when separated from the other. The trouble with many of us today is that we are trying to believe without intending to obey." The verses that we are going to look at today are critical for us as Christians. They describe our obedience to a compassionate and kind Heavenly Father. Think of a loving parent giving instructions to their child, and they're expected to be followed. God desires that we listen to and obey Him. And the promise is that we will experience His blessings in our lives. We don't do this perfectly, but as we grow as Christians, we should be growing in our obedience and following His word. Now, as we think about faith in action in the book of James, let's remember that James, he's the brother of Jesus. He's writing to Christians who have been scattered. They were persecuted. And James has already taught in the first chapter that the trials that we are going through are to be met with joy and with perseverance. For those who are experiencing this, the persecution, and for us today, the trials that we face, they are to be met with joy and perseverance because God keeps His promises. He is with us through the storms of life. And also, as we face temptations, temptations that come from our own desires, and when we give in to them, then we experience this death-like existence. So don't be misled, though. God doesn't tempt us. Rather, He is a good gift giver. So after talking about trials and temptations, then we come to these verses at the end of James. So if you do have your Bibles and you're not already there, James chapter 1, we'll read verses 19 to 27. And again, as was mentioned, there is a little handout in the bulletin. If you find that helpful, please use that. James chapter 1, let's start at verse 19. "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness that God requires. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he looks like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Now, unlike Paul, who wrote several of the New Testament letters, James doesn't go into great detail here about who Jesus is and about what Jesus has done. Rather, James draws from Jesus' own teaching, and particularly the Sermon on the Mount, as he writes his letter here. We would recall that James is one of the earliest writings that we have in the New Testament. So at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, this is what Jesus is saying, teaching to the crowds. He says this: "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock." Jesus continues, "And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Now, I think often when we think of this story, we think of the foundation as being Jesus. And Jesus is the rock. The Bible does talk about that. But here we see that the foundation is the person that hears and then does what Jesus said. So if we hear and do, then our lives will have a solid foundation. And when the storms of life come, we won't be shaken because our lives are built on the rock. But if we hear Jesus' words and we don't do them, then our foundation is not so solid. And when the storms of life come, our foundation is shown to be the sand that it is, and it will not hold us up. Now, the first instruction that James is giving to us in these verses is this: be hearers of the word. Now, the word comes up frequently. Talking about being hearers of the word comes up frequently in these verses. But if we were to back up to verse 18, this is what it says: of his own will, this is talking about God, of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So this is saying that we are born again, that we have been given new life because of the word. This is the Bible. This is what God has done. This is the good news of the gospel. And we have been brought from death to life. We've moved from darkness to light. This is by the word of God. And then it says that we are a kind of first fruits, that we've been set apart by God because of his love, because of his goodness, because of his kindness to us. 1 Peter chapter 1 talks about this as well. These verses: having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Now notice this part: since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. So it's through God's word that we are born again. So have you heard this word? Do you know the good news of the gospel? Are you born again? Have you turned from your sin, repentance, and embraced Jesus Christ by trusting? That's belief that Jesus' death on the cross was for you. And it was a payment for the penalty of your sin. And now, as Christians, we commit to following and obeying him. And we are to put our faith into action. So this is the word. Now back to verses 19 to 21. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness that God requires. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Here again, we see that implanted word. But looking at that first verse, don't we get this backwards often? We're quick to speak. We're quick to anger. We live in a culture where everyone's voice wants to be heard. So whether this is tweets, blog posts, Facebook comments, Instagram posts, just read the online comments on Sue Today articles and you will see this. Actually, don't read them. In a moment of anger, we can be quick to speak. We rush in with some conclusion based on what we hear, but we often don't have the whole story. And as we know, social media thrives on this kind of negative talk. As Christians, though, we are to be quick to hear and slow to speak. There was an incident that recently hit the news. I won't say what specifically it was, but Christian leaders were harsh in their criticism of a certain group of people. But then it was found out that the news story wasn't accurate and what had actually happened wasn't correctly represented. But these leaders were quick to speak, quick to anger, but rather let's be characterized by being quick to listen. Listening to understand, not just listening to respond. These verses continue that we are to put away filthiness. This is the picture of taking off dirty clothes. So this is going back a few years when it's raining outside and you, perhaps as a child, would go and play in the mud. Your mom doesn't want you to come in the house with those muddy clothes. And so this is the idea of putting off filthiness, putting that away. Filthiness and wickedness need to be put away, and we are to humbly receive the word of God, which is able to save our souls. When we become Christians, we have been born again by the word of God, and as Christians, we now grow in our faith. We hear the word of God. We live in obedience, putting off our own desires for filthy and wicked behavior. Now, as we see from these verses, they rightly emphasize that we are to put our faith in action, that we are to be doers of the word. We need, though, also to be hearers. And this is the first point, that we need to be hearers of the word. And how do we do that? Well, one way is what you're doing right now, that you would faithfully come here on a Sunday because you hear the word of God. We can also do this as we take time to read the Bible on our own. So whether that's devotional time, you have a Bible reading plan, and you're reading through the Bible. I know many of you would use Our Daily Bread. It's a new month. If you haven't grabbed a copy of the Our Daily Bread, do that. Some of you on the Bible reading app started a plan at the beginning of the year. Ryan Lidstone gave that challenge. And I trust that many of you who started that you are continuing. And if you're behind a little bit, try to get caught up with that. But hearing the word is vital to our faith. Let's not discount that as we think about this next point, that we must not only be hearers of the word, but that we would be doers of the word. Verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Several times, James would mention that we can deceive ourselves. We let the words that we hear go in one ear and they go out the other ear. If we only hear the word and don't do what it says, then the Bible says that we're foolish. James gives this illustration of looking into a mirror and then immediately forgetting what you look like. That's the same as hearing what God wants you to do and then not doing it. So true friends, and if you have loving family members, they will tell you that you have something stuck in your teeth. But if I had a piece of lettuce in my teeth, somebody told me that, then I go to the mirror to take it out, but I don't even bother to take it out. That's what this would be. It's, you know, it's sort of an absurd example. We wouldn't do that. We wouldn't go to our next job interview like that, forgetting that we had that stuck in our teeth. That would be foolish. When we hear the word of God, though, it follows that we are to obey what it says. In John 14, Jesus, speaking to his disciples, he says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And then further down in verse 23, Jesus again, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word." Now, the Conquer series, I've heard about this a little bit. It's a battle plan for sexual purity, the battle plan for purity. Now, two groups of guys have met over the past few months. Bethel is a place where you can get help for the things that you're struggling with. One of the video clips, it really stuck out to me, relating to this thought of being hearers of the word and not doers only. And so this video clip, Pastor James Reeves, he's speaking about the battle of the mind, the lies that we believe, and the truth that Jesus wants to build into our minds. And then he talks about this, the difference between knowledge and belief. So we'll watch that clip now. Knowledge and belief.
A lot of Christian men are not equipped to fight the battle because they don't really understand what the battle really is. And the truth of the matter is, the battle is a battle of the mind. The enemy, Jesus said, is a liar. He's the father of lies. And that's the only tool he's got. Jesus is the truth. And so really, this battle, whether it's sexual addiction or any other kind of difficulty in life, really becomes a battle between truth and lies. And that's where the battle is fought. The Bible refers to this whole idea of truth and lies as being a stronghold. In 2 Corinthians 10, Paul talks about that. He says, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but are divinely powerful for the pulling down of strongholds and taking, what? Every thought captive to the obedience Christ. The enemy wants to build strongholds of the mind, of lies. Jesus wants to build strongholds of truth. And addictive behavior in and of itself is a stronghold of the mind of lies. The difficulty in the Christian community is so many people don't even know what they believe because they equate what they know with what they believe. And the two are not the same. We can often know something, and because we know it, we convince ourselves that we believe it. For instance, I know that Jesus loves me. I've quoted John 3:16 forever. Do I really believe that? Well, because I know it, I convince myself that I believe it. But when there's a contradiction between my behavior and what I say I believe, so in other words, what we really believe often gets covered up with knowledge. And part of this process is trying to dig through the knowledge and get down to the lie that's really motivating the destructive behavior. The difficulties in getting people to understand how to have real life transformation with the mind in the Christian community is because of this dichotomy of we cover up the lies of the enemy that we believe with the knowledge that we have acquired in church. In fact, for many Christians, they're very frustrated. And I think many Christians are at a point that I minister to all the time, who are at a point of even giving up on the concept of absolute truth in the Word of God because they go, you know, I've believed this and believed this and believed this and it didn't work. And I go, no, you don't believe that. You know it because you've memorized the verse, but you don't believe it. Because if you believe that truth, your behavior would change. Because all behavior is based not on knowledge, it's based on belief. If the scripture's true, and I believe it is, as a man thinks within himself, so is he. It's not possible to live contrary to what I believe. It is possible to live contrary to what I think I believe, what I say I believe, or what I've even convinced myself that I do believe, simply because I have the knowledge. Until I come to the end of myself, I can't really become to the beginning of God. I can't come to the beginning of change. I can't come to the beginning of anything good until I come to the end of myself. And Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. He wasn't talking about being poor mouthed or poor spirited. He meant, blessed are you when you come to the place where you understand and admit you have nothing, nothing of worth, nothing of value to present yourself to me. You have no power. You are powerless. And that's a humbling place to come to. And so this whole process of getting free from sexual bondage or any kind of addiction or any kind of destructive behavior is at its root level an exploratory process. It's a pilgrimage into the heart and into the mind to discover, what do I really believe? Not what do I know, but what do I really believe?
We can hear the word of God. We can know what the right answers are. We can memorize the verse, but until we believe it, this is not knowledge, this is belief, and then we act on it, we will not be living the way that God wants us to live. We do plan to offer this Conquer series again. Men who are struggling in the area of sexual purity, I urge you to contact me or somebody that you trust. You are not going to conquer this alone, because if you could, you would have done that already. But we need God's grace, and we certainly need each other. This is verse 25, being doers of the word, but the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. The perfect law here is another way of saying the Bible. This is the word of truth. And so when we look into the Bible as a mirror, it not only shows us our sin and our shortcomings, but it also shows God's perfect righteousness. And if we don't give up, being a hearer who also does what the word says, then this is the promise that you will be blessed. Jesus said this himself. He was in the upper room with his disciples. He had just washed their feet. And he said, you know, you need to follow my example in the same way. And he said this, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Blessed are you. Happiness and joy will characterize those who live out their faith in Jesus. But you know, we could say, I can't do this perfectly. I'm not always a doer of the word. And that's so true. This is where Jesus steps in. Jesus is our righteousness. Jesus followed the law completely. Jesus followed God's standards. And that has been transferred to our account. We are counted as righteous before a holy God because of what Jesus has done. Praise God for that. But now, in humility, we seek to put our faith into action. So those secret sins that we have, we go to battle on those. The trials and temptations that we face in our life, we do that. We go through those things because we know that God is with us and he is for us. We put away filthiness and wickedness because we know that he is the one who will save our souls. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. And this last point, seek pure religion. This is what it says in verse 26 and 27. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Now, don't get hung up over this word, religion. Religion here again is putting our faith into action. We often have a negative association with that word, religion. And it's true that we say, you know, Christianity, it's a religion. Sorry, it's not a religion. It's a relationship. That is true. But again, don't get hung up over this word, religion, here. James mentions three ways that we are to seek pure religion, that we're to control the words that come out of our mouths, that we are to look after orphans and widows, and then it also mentions that we're to guard ourselves from the corruption of the world around us. And positively, though, we can think of it this way, that we are to speak with love. In Ephesians 4, verse 29, this is the New Living Translation, it says this, don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Let's be characterized with speaking with love. Now, later in the book of James, we'll come back to this theme of the words that come out of our mouth. Again, our culture is filled with people who want to be heard. But may we grow in this area as Christians. A second thing is to serve the poor, that as we seek pure religion, then we will serve the poor and the needy. James mentions here orphans and widows in their affliction or distress, and maybe that will be literally who we are helping. But there are others that we can be helping too, foster children, the homeless, special needs children and adults, refugees, the unemployed, and many other people that are needy. And you know, here at Bethel, we reach out in a lot of ways. And if you'd like to put your faith in action, there are people that you can talk to so that you can be seeking pure religion in your life. A third way, James says, is being fully devoted to God. Psalm 119, verse 45, it says this, "I will walk in freedom, for I have devoted myself to your commandments." And then Proverbs 4:23 says this, "Above all else, guard your heart, for from it flow the springs of life." We seek pure religion when we live out our faith, as we speak with love, as we help and serve those who are needy, and we fully commit ourselves to God. Now, the primary question here this morning is, do you have a true belief in the one true God? We are hopelessly lost in our sin, but the good news of the gospel is that God is gracious and he sent his son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus, on the cross, he satisfied the wrath of a holy God and he showed us his great power by rising from the dead. And when we turn from our sin and we believe in Jesus, we trust him with our lives, that what he did on the cross was for us, and then we commit our lives to him, to following and obeying, being hearers of the word and doers of the word, then we are restored to a right relationship with God, and by his grace, yeah, we do follow him. And then if you do have that true belief in God, is it a belief that behaves? And so if it is, you will be abundantly blessed. So in what ways are you listening to God's word, but maybe not doing what it says? Do you have some knowledge? We talked about that knowledge and belief. Has it transferred from knowledge to belief? Here's another quote from A.W. Tozer. I think it's really helpful. "God is ready to send down floods of blessing upon us as we begin to obey his plain instructions. We need no new doctrine, no new movement, no imported evangelist or expensive course to show us the way. It is clear before us. Just do the next thing you know you should do to carry out the will of God. If there is sin in your life, quit it instantly. Put away lying, gossiping, dishonesty, or whatever your sin may be. Forsake worldly pleasures, extravagance in spending. Get right with any person you may have wronged. Forgive everyone who may have wronged you. Begin to use your money to help the poor and advance the cause of Christ. Take up the cross and live sacrificially. Pray, attend the Lord's services, witness for Christ, and not only when it is convenient, but when you know you should. Study the Bible to learn the will of God, and then do his will as you understand it. Start now by doing the next thing, and then go on from there." Pretty tall order, but this is our obedience to God, and remember that we're not alone as we do this. We need each other's help. This is why God has set up the church, that we could be doing this together. So let's put our faith in action. Let's have a belief that behaves. Let's be hearers of the word, be doers of the word. Let's seek pure religion before God. Now, on the sheet that I put in the bulletin, it has this application question. And this is the goal of preaching, is that there would be application, which is exactly what these verses are talking about, that we would not just be here sitting, listening to what the preacher says, and then go to lunch and forget, but that we would be putting into practice what we hear, what we read in our Bibles throughout the week. So this is the question: in what way do you need to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only? We're growing in our Christian faith. We're not perfect right now. We haven't arrived, but let's spur one another on. And then this last question: what is God putting on your heart? I'm going to close in prayer. The worship team is going to come up. We'll sing one more song. And if you would like to talk to somebody, you need some help to be a doer of the word. I need help to be a doer of the word. If you'd like to come up and talk to somebody, to pray with somebody, we are in this together. As we put our faith in action, let's be doers of the word and not hearers only. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can be here in this place at this time. We have the freedom to do this in our country, and we thank you for that. Thank you for giving us the Bible that by your grace, you have chosen to reveal yourself to us. You've given us instructions that we have for our learning and that we can put into action in our lives. And Father, I pray that as Christians, we would be growing in our faith. We're not doing this perfectly for sure. But as we gather around each other as Christians, part of the church, that Lord, you would help us to be growing in our faith, that we're able to conquer the sins in our lives, be going to battle against those sins, and that we can help other people do that. Father, that we would be reaching out into our community here as we are. May we do that more and more so that we can reach other people with the gospel, that we can help those who are hurting. And Father, that we would do that in this global community that we live in the world. Lord, we know that we've sent out missionaries so that they can be sharing the gospel and be helping those in other parts of the world so that you would get the glory, Lord. So would you please challenge us to not only hear what we've just heard, but to be doing what you have asked us to do. And it's all for your glory, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.